How's everybody doing today? Excellent. Good to see you guys. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, right? How many of you have heard that prayer before? That's the Lord's Prayer, or maybe you've heard it called the Our Father. In the church that I attended growing up, we recited that prayer word for word every single weekend at every single service. There was a certain way you stood and kind of held your head, and I'll never forget that. I didn't have to, that's just buried in my memory from growing up. The problem was I didn't understand a word of it. It wasn't the church's fault that I went to at all. It was great to have those truths be part of our regular worship. But I was just a kid. I didn't know what hallowed or trespass or some of those words even meant, right? Not in my vocabulary. But that was my first understanding of what prayer was. A group of people sort of standing kind of rigidly, repeating a series of words together that were already written in advance. That's kind of what I grew up with. Maybe you had a similar introduction to prayer in your life. So fast forward to high school, and that's when I really understood the gospel for the first time and became a Christian. I joined this small group Bible study, and the way those high school kids prayed was completely new to me. Only one person would pray at a time. People would be laying down or sitting, kneeling, you know, whatever. It was very informal, very conversational. People would be like, "Hey, God, you know, thanks for being awesome. Say hi to Jesus for me," you know. And it was sort of this just totally different thing. It took some getting used to. I didn't even know if it was the same thing as the experiences that I had had with prayer growing up. It was so vastly different. What are some of the first memories maybe you have when it comes to prayer? Some people talk about maybe like their mom and dad or their grandparents praying with them before they went to bed or after meals. And I did not have that experience. Maybe you did. How did you learn about prayer? Who taught you about prayer? What were your early prayers like in terms of like the format and the content? Just interesting things to think about. Today, I want to talk about the relationship between prayer and the Bible. Something I really never thought about until I was a college student. Our tendency, I think, is to see prayer and Bible reading as really two separate endeavors. I certainly thought that way for a long time. And the goal for our time this morning is to see how prayer and Bible reading are really intertwined. And to give us some practical tools to help us grow in prayer through the Bible and to help us grow in the Bible through prayer. How can we allow the truth of God's word to shape the language and content of some of our prayers? As an example, I want to use Colossians chapter 1 to open our time in prayer this morning. We won't have the words on the screen. I just want us to hear God's truth as a prayer together. So let's pray. Lord, we ask that those listening here today may be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we may walk worthy of you, fully pleasing you, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in our knowledge of you, being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, so that we might have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to you. Amen. You know, there's something powerful about praying God's word for other people, with other people, or having God's word prayed for you, because these are the very words of God. We know that we are praying truth together when we do that. So if you have your Bible, we're going to jump right in. We're going to open up to Luke chapter 11. We'll have the verses up on the screen as well. If you have something to take notes with on your phone or something to write with, that might be helpful. We're going to do a couple of little interactive things later on that you may want to just kind of have a way to record some things. But we're going to start here in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, which says this. He, and that's Jesus, was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. I love the disciples, very practical. Give us a little, help us out here, Jesus. Teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. Jesus said to them, whenever you pray, say, Father, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not bring us into temptation. And so right away, the first thing I notice in this passage is that Jesus prayed, like a lot, like maybe all the time, which is interesting because Jesus was and is and always will be God himself. And yet in his humanity, he sought his Father in prayer on a regular basis. Now, leading up to this moment, if you read chapters 9 and 10, Jesus is going. He's on the move. If you read back in chapter 10, he sends out 72 of his followers in groups of two to go proclaim the truth of himself in the world. And then he debriefs all of them when they return. Then he shares the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is one of the most brilliant teachings, not just in the Bible, but anywhere ever, right? And then he visits Mary and Martha. So it's very full, very fast pace. And now he wants to pray. And so it says he goes off to his certain place. And maybe you have one of those. For Jesus, maybe it was Mount Arbel, the mountainside near the Sea of Galilee, or maybe he was out on a boat. Maybe you have a closet or a chair or whatever. He has that place, and he's praying. Now, we don't know exactly what happened, but what I picture is that his disciples are standing far enough away that they can see him, but he can't hear them. And they're watching and waiting, like, you think he's done yet? Because I got some questions about that Good Samaritan parable and about all everything that happened yesterday. Why is he taking so long, right? Don't interrupt him. He hates it when we interrupt him when he's praying, right? Until finally one of them's like, oh, I got it. Let's ask him about prayer. He likes to talk about prayer. Hey, Jesus. And they're like, no, Matthew, call him Lord. He likes to be called Lord. Okay, teach us to pray. And Jesus is like, sure, okay. And he shares what we now call the Lord's Prayer. Now, for a long time, what I thought was that Jesus kind of just made up this prayer on the spot. And in a sense, maybe that's true. But when you start to dig a little bit deeper, you realize the Old Testament biblical truth that lies underneath this prayer that Jesus shares with him, it's unbelievable. His first word in the prayer is Father. Or maybe if you're more familiar with the Matthew 6 version, it's Our Father. Now, why does he start there? Well, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 63, verse 16, it says this, yet you are our father. Even though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not recognize us, you, Lord, are our father. Your name is our redeemer from ancient times. And so to teach his disciples to pray, Jesus reaches back to the truth and language of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. The words, our Father, twice, straight out of Isaiah 63, 16. They were written during a time when God's people, the Jews, had strayed so far from God that Isaiah says, Abraham wouldn't even know you. Israel wouldn't even recognize you, right? And yet, Isaiah says, you are our Father, still, always. Lesson number one from Jesus, teach us how to pray. When you pray, regardless of what's going on in your heart or how far you've strayed from following Jesus, start by remembering who God is. He is Father. He's our Father. He's Dad. We're his children still, always. He says, Father, your name be honored as holy. Now that language is everywhere in the Bible. If you've done some Bible reading, there's just example after example of people lifting up the name of God, right? And praising the name of God and honoring his name. In fact, in this very passage, Isaiah 63:16, I don't know if you caught it, yet you are our Father, even though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not recognize us, you, Lord, are our Father. Your name is our Redeemer from ancient times. And so again, in the midst of this season when God's people have really strayed far from him, and you can see if you read the rest of Isaiah 63, God's resulting grief and wrath and anger. And yet Isaiah says, even though it doesn't seem to be true, we honor your name as holy. We call you Father twice, and then we say, your name is our Redeemer from ancient times. A redeemer is one who saves, one who repays, right? The one we pray to, our Father, is also our Savior. He always has been, always, from the ancient of times. This is just who he is. I love how Jesus, by the way, here is essentially just talking about himself in this prayer. He's like, he is the Redeemer, right? And so that's one of his titles. There's just so much baked into just these first seven words of Jesus's prayer. When he says, Father, your name be honored as holy, he's encouraging his disciples to use the truth and language of the Bible as the content of their prayers, and specifically remind yourselves always of who God is. That's all over the scripture. Before you ask for provision, which is important, and that's part of this prayer. Before you confess your sins and ask for forgiveness, before you appeal to God for help in the midst of temptation, remember God is your Father and that his name is to be honored as holy. Now, I don't want to become too fixated on just this one passage in Isaiah 63. There are dozens of other passages from the Old Testament that map onto Jesus's prayer in Luke chapter 11. If you head over to rivchurch.com/live, I actually included a graphic there that shows 40-ish additional Old Testament verses that share in the language and theme of the Lord's Prayer. That would be a great place if you want to do some study on your own or with your life group. But the point is that Jesus made a practice of praying the truth of God's word. That was part of his prayer life. Now, let's do that a little bit here together this morning with our group here. Raise your hand if you would be willing to share with the group here a name of God that you appreciate, or a way that you appreciate God, or a Bible verse that you really is kind of like you like to go to that allows us to honor God's name as holy, that blesses his name, or that that kind of accomplishes what Jesus is suggesting here in this prayer. Does anybody have a name of God or a Bible verse? Or, yes, sir. Psalm 100. Do you know what it says, or do you want me to look it up for you? Yeah, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. That's everywhere in the Psalms. Really good thing to remember. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. Anybody else have one that they like? Yes, I think I see a hand back there. I cannot see you though, so go for it. Creator God. Yeah, God is the creator. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Oh, Jehovah Rapha? Do you know what that means? I can't hear her. Healer, yes. God is the healer. That's right. Beautiful name of God. One or two more, maybe. Anybody else have one that they love? Yes, sir. Dan. Jesus is the way and the truth and life. Yeah. Take some time to just reflect on that today. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Yeah. And so that's just a great process. Even what we do in song here, you will be praised. You will be praised. We will sing holy. We will sing glory. That's part of the idea of this prayer. Jesus said to them, whenever you pray, Father, Your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Now, there's lots of ways that we can think about, okay, I'm praying to God for daily bread, for provision. It could be very literally, God, provide our basic needs. Maybe even it's food, bread, a very practical way. God, we need a car. We need rent money. Or maybe you're praying for a family or some other people. You know, these kids need a home. They need to be provided for. Maybe it's more metaphorical, right? Jesus said in the spirit of what Dan just shared with us, I am the bread of life. Or the word, my word is your bread as well, right? God, sustain my heart. Give me the truth that I need from your scripture today. Take a few seconds. I'm going to give you maybe 30 seconds to just process a couple of questions in this prayer. Maybe pray this prayer of daily bread just for yourself, or you can chat with the people you're sitting with. What has God provided for you already that you are thankful for? And then maybe what do you need today or coming up soon this week that you would like to ask God for? Who else can you pray for in that way? Take a few seconds just maybe to reflect on those questions, maybe make some notes, and then we'll keep moving forward. That's, I believe it's Jehovah Jireh, right, is that name, that God is the provider, right? Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us. Now, when I was in college, I was part of this Wednesday morning prayer group at my church. There was like 20-ish people that would show up. It was 5:45 a.m., every Wednesday morning, which is super early for a college student or for humans in general. It was really early. And so you're kind of, and they would use this Lord's Prayer, the one from Matthew 6, as sort of just the model, the rhythm of prayer every Wednesday morning. And I'll never forget the first week that I showed up at this prayer group. I was kind of still groggy, barely awake, you know, and we got to this verse. And one by one, the people in the group, they started praying these prayers of confession out loud, like in front of the whole group. And it wasn't like, you know, oh, I cut someone off in my car and got angry, Lord. They were like praying like the big ones, like the things you don't say out loud. And I remember sitting there and I was like 20, my eyes got real big. I was like, I sure hope they aren't gonna ask me to do that because I don't wanna say any of those things. And as I started to think about it, I remember when I went home, I was like, I just started to think, well, why not? Is hiding our sin really helping us? And there was something powerful about the trust in that room and the way these folks were just so honest. God knows all this stuff anyway. And so we locked the doors in the back until everyone, no, I'm just kidding. We're not gonna do that publicly today. But take a moment again, maybe 30 seconds, for a time of personal confession. In what ways are you struggling with sin that you want to ask God for his forgiveness? And then this other part of the passage, who has sinned against you that you would like to choose to forgive that person? Take a few seconds with those questions. And do not bring us into temptation is the next part. And again, what just a little phrase there. I just love the relevance. This is 2,000 years ago that Jesus prayed this. And I think about those words, Lord, protect me, right? Help me to avoid temptation. Again, take a couple seconds to think and reflect. What are the areas of temptation that you face where you can ask for God's protection to help you avoid those? And then who else can you pray for in this way? It's a great prayer to pray for your kids, for your spouse, for your friends, for yourself, right? Please help my Christian brothers and sisters, help my family members avoid temptations. What are the temptations that maybe those folks face? I'll give you, this is our last little time of a couple seconds of reflection. Lord, teach us to pray. And so Jesus said to them, whenever you pray, say, Father, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not bring us into temptation. I mean, I just think Jesus is just so incredible, so wise. This model of prayer is just so simple. It's easy and yet profound and timeless, right? Rooted in biblical truth. I hope that maybe it could be a useful framework for a regular rhythm of prayerful application for some of us in this room. At the same time, there are plenty of other ways to pray, right? Without even involving the Lord's Prayer. It doesn't mean you've been doing it wrong or whatever. This is just one place that you can kind of use as a resource. There's a lot of times we don't have the time or space to get ourselves mentally and emotionally organized to even walk through a process like this. You got three young kids pulling at you, or two final exams in the morning, or you know your dad is in the hospital or whatever. It's not like God is going, Luke 11. Use the formula. You know, it's not like it's, you know. And there's lots of examples of this in the scripture, right? You think about the criminal on the cross. He just calls out to Jesus, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Mary and Martha, after their brother dies, Jesus shows up. They say, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. Peter, when he was sinking into the Sea of Galilee, he just cried out, Lord, save me. Even Pastor Noel last week talked about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if you can take this, if you can do this any other way, right? It's sort of just this visceral crying out to God. It's why I love the second part of this little section here, starting in verse 5. The disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus says, okay, whenever you pray, say this, just like we just discussed. And then in verse 5, it says, he also said to them, in other words, he's still teaching them how to pray, okay? Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I don't have anything to offer him. And so Jesus just completely pivots to another direction here with this random, specific scenario that he paints. You're at home at night, somebody shows up and they need some bread. And we have that in life, right? Life has lots of curveballs. There's lots of unexpected and messy situations. And sometimes it's just day-to-day. This is important. This person needs some food. Sometimes it's crisis-type things that pop up in our life. I call those STU prayers, suddenly, tragically, urgently, right? There's no time to organize your thoughts. There's just reaction. This, you know, there's nothing particular biblical about these prayers that get offered. Verse 7 says, then he, this is the guy that's in the house, will answer from inside and say, don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children and I have gone to bed. I can't get up to give you anything. So when you read these parables, it's always good to ask yourself, okay, which one of these people in the parable is God and which one is me? And in case you missed it, in this parable, God is the guy who can't be bothered with your requests because he's sleeping, okay? That's God, and you're the guy on the other side of the door that's like, I need some bread right there. That's the story. Verse 8, I tell you, Jesus says, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he is his friend, it's not about friendship, yet because of his friend's shameless boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Now, that's an interesting phrase to me. He doesn't say he will get up and give him what he asked for. He says he's going to get up and give, what did he give him? We don't know. As much as he needs. So, and this is a familiar passage maybe to some of you, Jesus says, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? And some of you are thinking, my dad would do that. That sounds exactly like my dad. Or if his dad asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion. I love that. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I just love the way he just spins that at the end. I wonder how many people have turned to God with this urgent request in a time of need and wound up becoming Christians in the process and receiving the Holy Spirit. I asked for 3 loaves of bread and I got eternal life, right? I mean, that's kind of one of the spins on the story. How often do we ask and seek and knock, waiting for God to give us what we think we need? And God's answer is to remind us that we have him and he's everything we'll ever need. Now again, thinking about our goal at the beginning, how can we allow the truth of God's word to shape the language and content of our prayers? I think it's important to tap into the wisdom of the Bible as part of the rhythm of your life of prayer. Jesus gave us some good examples in the Lord's Prayer, using God's word to remember who God is, to ask for his provision, his forgiveness, his protection. And there's lots of other kinds of prayers in the Bible, prayers of joy and lament and for other people to get saved. Very, very relevant. A great way to just have some order and structure in your life of prayer. Pray the truth of the Bible for yourself, for your spouse, for your friends, for your kids. My wife has specific verses that she has prayed for each of our boys since they were babies. I'll show you one of those here in a moment. And then there are also times when we're frazzled and things are chaotic and we cry out to God. Now, I bet some of you have had this experience. Sometimes when we face those situations, it does feel like God is sleeping on the other side of that door, doesn't it? We're like knocking and asking and seeking and there's just nothing, right? The egg that you asked for, it looks a lot like a scorpion, right? And what's Jesus's message to us here? Be persistent. The phrase he uses is shameless boldness. I love that. Keep knocking. You may ask for 3 loaves of bread and receive the Holy Spirit. Everyone who asks receives, says Jesus. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And no matter what kind of prayer you're praying, whether it's a measured prayer in a time of peace and calmness and rest, or a cry for help in the chaos, remember who God is. He is our Father. He is our Redeemer. Always from the ancient of times. He is good. He knows what you need. Remember when we prayed to open our time together, that verse from Colossians chapter 1, that is the verse that my wife Laura, she, when we were talking about this sermon, she was telling me this is the verse that she has prayed for our youngest son Luke since way back when he was a baby. And I was telling her about, kind of the teaching this week. She was sharing with me, as she's been reflecting on the truth of these words, how encouraging it has been to her to look back and see how God has answered that prayer in Luke's life. So let's hear it one more time to close our time in prayer. I'm going to have you stand with me. And Cody's going to come join us on stage to lead us out with some more music. And then this might be a verse that you would consider praying for yourself or for your spouse or for your kids or for other people that you care about. So again, this is Colossians chapter 1. Let's pray. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying. We are asking, Lord, that we might be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to you, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of you, being strengthened with power according to your glorious might, so that we may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to you, Father, because you have enabled us to share in the inheritance of the saints. You have rescued us from the domain of darkness and have transferred us into the kingdom of your Son, Jesus, who you love. Amen.